Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the 5-Star Joshi Show here on the Fight Game Media Network. I am your host, as always, Scott Edwards. Today, we have a pretty packed episode talking TJPW's Max Hart Tournament, Megan Bain saying farewell to Stardom, the busy weekend that was the Stardom Awards show, and two shows in over the weekend that featured some big-time matches, including two title matches and a 13th anniversary matchup. We'll also talk the Shoe Pro Awards. The Shoe Pro Awards are out. Those are mostly voted on, but a lot of Stardom, a lot of Joshi involvement, so we will get to those. I'll briefly go over some news and a quick preview for the upcoming shows, and then we will get into a Q&A to close out today. So let's get right into it. Before I get to the reviews and previews, I do want to say that this upcoming weekend, Ice Ribbon has their first Cork and Hall show of the year. They're doing a unique tournament this year called the Ribbon One. The Ribbon One is a multi-person tournament that will feature some of the young talent in the company, as well as some of the older talent. So the tournament conditions are as follows. This will be at Winter Story 2024 on Saturday. In the case of a time limit draw, the wrestler with the shorter career will move forward. Notably, there are 10-minute time limits. If both wrestlers debuted on the same day, the match will continue on a no time limit over time. The opponents or the matchups are as followed. You have Yappy versus Sakina Umino. You have Hamako Hoshi versus Arisa Shinose. Kiri versus Kaho Matsushita. Satoru Satsuki versus Mifu Ashida. Saran versus Asuka Fujitaki. And then there'll be a tag team match. Yoshihiko Hasegawa and Ibuki Hoshi team up against Ann Cham and Mayuka Kiyoke. And the return of Yuki Mashiro. She will go one-on-one with Makoto. And then, of course, we will have the following rounds of that tournament. So worth noting there. I do plan to go over that next week because this upcoming weekend is not a busy one. Of course, the week after will be Stardom 13th Anniversary Supreme Fight, which we are all looking forward to, but for now we will truck along here. I just wanted to touch on that. Maybe someone out there is interested in jumping back into Ice Ribbon. That seems like the show to do so. TJPW had their Max Hart tournament begin this past weekend. If you have watched a Max Hart tournament, you kind of know how these first couple rounds go. It isn't always too exciting, unfortunately. That's just the reality of it all. There isn't a lot of competitiveness between the higher card and lower card. And this year, a lot of the tournament doesn't have their signature teams, of course. You know, I went over the preview, I believe, last week, and it wasn't a tournament that had me all excited. Now, the decisions that they've made along the way have me far more excited for the semifinals this upcoming weekend than I expected. So let's get to it, shall we? On Saturday, they held their first show, and the tournament matches were as followed. Unsurprisingly, we saw Wakana Uehara and Yuki Arai defeating Haru Kazashiro and Kaya Torabami. A pretty forgettable match, as you'd expect. I think Wakana Uehara may be more consistent already than Yuki Arai, and that may be a hot take. I don't know. But I just think that she is already doing better than Yuki does on a match-to-match basis. And obviously, Yuki is balancing being an idol and whatnot. But I just think Wakana has really jumped in to TJPW. And she's not only made fans because of it, but she is someone who just feels like she's getting better and better and better as time goes on. Next up, we have Palm Harajuku and Raku defeat Himawari and Nao Kakuta. That hurts me. Himawari and Nao are far better wrestlers than Palm and Raku, but Himawari is a rookie, not really anymore, but she's still low on the totem pole, so it shouldn't come as too much of a shock that she came up short in this match. Just a real shame, though, because I was hoping that they would be willing to kind of go with a newer team with Kakuta and Himawari. Himawari is someone that they should start to get a little more behind, but she's starting to feel like Arisu Endo for a lot of her early career. She's clearly talented, but they are hesitant on getting behind her. Juri Nagano and Moka Miyamoto defeated Miyu Yamashita and Toga. Not a big shock here. Toga, obviously, a true rookie. Never in my mind did I think Yamashita was going to move on. This was pretty much a day off for Yamashita. If you watch this match, she didn't do all too much in this tournament. But this win for Juri and Moka Miyamoto instantly moves them to the semifinals, I believe. So big win for them, obviously, and now they have a shot at getting to the Max Hart Finals. And in the main event of show number one, it was Hyper Masao and Shoko Nakajima defeating Mihiro Kiryu and Yuki Kamifuku. I think Kamifuku and Kiryu is a very bad tag team. Like, every time I watch them, I am never left with any impression other than these two just aren't all too good. And I think Hyper Masao and Shoko Nakajima, while I am not the biggest fan of Hyper Masao by any means, I think they make a good tag team more often than not. I think I appreciate both of them more when they're teaming rather than when they're doing a match against one another or doing singles. So this match was not all that good. That kind of goes for the whole day, but Shoko and Hyper Masao move on. Next up, we had day two. Second round matchups here. Just three matchups to go through, including Daisy Monkey, Risu Endo, and Suzume. Thankfully, defeating Palm Harajuku and Araku. Again, just a match very, very much like the first day. It's not notable at all. It wasn't bad. It was just very unforgettable. If you missed it, you didn't miss much. What matters, though, is that Daisy Monkey won. That is the most important aspect of this tournament. They should keep winning and keep winning, and hopefully They use this tournament to build them up and potentially win those tag belts at the big Grand Princess pay-per-view. Wakana Uehara and Yuki Rai continued their success as a duo, defeating Mizuki and Shino Suzuki in 12 minutes and 11 seconds. I thought Mizuki and Suzuki worked fine together. I thought this match was decent enough. Again, I reiterate, Wakana, I believe Wakana is better than Yuki Rai already. So I just want to say that. But let's get to the main event. I think this is the one match, if you're looking for a match to go out of your way to see from this past weekend in TJPW, it is this one. It was Miyu Watanabe and Rika Tatsumi defeating Hyper Masao and Shoko Nakajima. This match was just very entertaining. It was two of the only long-term established teams going head-to-head and facing off and just really putting together a match that's worthy of a tournament setting. You know, they trade back and forth. I think Miyu and Rika Tatsumi are just so good at what they do, and they're so much better than pretty much every team in this tournament. Like, there are levels to this tournament, and I think they're on such a higher level than the rest that it's almost unfair to compare. But thankfully, they did win. Now, it does create an interesting dilemma heading into the semifinals, because they will be facing Yuki Rai and Wakana Uehara, which Yuki Rai, of course, the International Princess Champion. You'd expect her to make her first defense at Grand Princess. Meanwhile, Miyu Watanabe is challenging Miyu Yamashita at Grand Princess for the title. So it'll be very interesting to see who gets to the finals and who potentially could shift what we are expecting from that Grand Princess card. But I'm really much looking forward to that match. So let's take a look at the upcoming weekend here in TJPW. Of course, they are going to, I forget what the venue is, but it will be the semifinals this upcoming weekend. I will give you the full card. I'm not sure what is on the full card. I only know the semifinals, but let's get to it. Here is the full card. We got Toga and Yuki Aino teaming up to face Shoko Nakajima and Kaya Toribami in opening action. Mihiro Kiryu go one-on-one with Haru Kazushiro. It'll be Hyper Masao and Yuki Kamifuku versus Palm Harajuku. Oh, sorry. Hyper Masao, Yuki Kamifuku, and Palm Harajuku face off in a three-way match. Now Kakuta Himawari and Miyu Yamashita team up to take on Shino Suzuki, Mizuki, and Araku in trios action. And then we have our semi-final matchups. It will be Suzume and Arisu Endo versus Juri Nagano and Moka Miyamoto on one side, while Yuki Rai and Wakana Uehara face off with Daydream, Miyu Watanabe, and Rika Tatsumi. So there's a lot of possibilities here, obviously, for these two matches. The people that I thought were winning were Shoko Nakajima and Hyper Masao. So obviously we are at a big shock here for me, but I do really like these final two matches. With Juri Nagano on her way out of the company, I surely would not have her win this match. I would go with Suzume and Arisu Endo to win this one. I think Daisy Monkey again should be the ones in the driver's seat for a title shot and hopefully a title win. And on the other side, of course, we have Miyu Watanabe and Rika Tatsumi versus Yuki Arai and Wakana Uehara. This is the hard one to predict. This is the match I'm looking forward to the most because of that reason. So there is the potential that Wakana just gets pinned here, obviously, and Daydream goes on to the finals to face Daisy Monkey. That's your best in-ring final possible. But then there is also the intrigue of Yuki Rai and Wakana Uehara kind of surprising everyone and getting to the finals and taking on Daisy Monkey. Truthfully, I think no matter what, Daisy Monkey should be the winners. I'm going to guess that Daydream get the win here, and then they give the huge win to Daisy Monkey ahead of their tag title match. But I could always be wrong. We'll have to wait and see. But that's what I'm rooting for here. It should be a fun little two matches of action if you're looking to get into TJPW or watch some meaningful TJPW matches. These are the ones to do. But for now, let's move on. We are getting to the Shoe Pro rankings. Of course, these are big time rankings. They're awards voted on by the readers of the weekly pro magazine, Pro Wrestling Magazine. And there's a lot to go into here. So let's go over the big results. I'll give some comments on anything that I feel is necessary, but in terms of the Joshi rankings, Tam Nakano finished in fifth for the overall Pro Wrestling Grand Prix. She finished behind Sonata, Kano, Tetsuya Naito, and the winner, Hiromu Takahashi. Unagi Sayaka got eighth place, and Natsupoi got 10th. So big spots for each of them here in these rankings. Congratulations to them. Only one Joshi match got into the top 10 for best match. That was Tam Nakano versus Julia from the Yokohama Arena, ranking second only behind Shinsuke Nakamura versus the Great Muda. Pretty big deal for them to get such an accomplishment. The Women's Pro Wrestling Grand Prix, this is pretty much easy to say, but Tam Nakano took home that, having nearly 1,000 more votes than the second place winner, which was Julia, followed by Suzu Suzuki in third, Unagi Sayaka in fourth, Sayori Ano in fifth, Mizuki in sixth, Io Shirai in seventh, Mika in eighth, Rina Yamashita in ninth, and Sari in 10th. The Best Unit Award went to another Stardom winner. Number one, Cosmic Angels, having 600 more votes than the Los Ingobernables de Japón of New Japan Pro Wrestling. Third place was the Good Looking Guys of NOAH. Fourth place was House of Torture. Fifth place was United Empire. Sixth place was Pheromones of DDT. Seventh was Just Five Guys in New Japan. In eighth was Tokyo Joshi Pro's Free Wi-Fi. In ninth was Queen's Quest. And in tenth was Donna Del Mondo. The best foreigner here on the list out of the Joshi names, Megan Bain, finished in second only behind Will Ospreay. Max the Impaler of TJPW came in third, while Mariah May finished in seventh place after her run in Stardom. The Rookie Award, Hanako took the top spot in all of Joshi and Puro, coming in with 842 votes. Wakana Uehara finished in third with 1,523 votes. Kizuna Tanaka of Pro Wrestling Wave came in fourth. Zones of Evo Girls came in fifth. Dark Unagi came in sixth. Chichi came in eighth. And Mifu Ashida of Ice Ribbon came in 10th. So a lot of representation of the Joshi world on that list. And then the favorite wrestlers list. This is always an interesting one, and a lot of Joshi representation, but none more bigger than Tam Nakano finishing first over Tetsuya Naito. That's gigantic. Like, I can't stress that enough. In third place, this is Joshi and Puro, mind you. In third place was Natsupoi. In fourth place was Sayori Ano. In eighth place was TJPW's Wakana Uehara. A big shock there. In 10th place was Mina Shirakawa. In 11th, Unagi Sayaka. 12th, Starlight Kid. 13th, Yuki Arai. 14th, Mayu Iwatani. 17th, Julia. 19th, Micah. 20th, Sari. 24th, Saya Kamatani. 25th, Azumi. 28th, Utami Hayashishita. 35th, Suzu Suzuki. 36th, Arisu Endo. 37th, Yuki Kamifuku. 38th, Mizuki. 39th, Hazuki. 41st, Saki Kashima. And 46th, Miyu Yamashita. And 49th, Shuri. So that is all your Joshi representation. Io Shirai and Kairi also made the list as well. So congratulations to all of them. You love to see the representation out of Joshi up and down that list. It's really, oh, Sari was 20th. I don't remember if I said that or not. But seeing so much Joshi and you know, battle with some of the biggest names in pro wrestling is just such a great thing to see, obviously. I mean, Kazuchika Okada came in 9th. That means Wakana Uehara, Sayori, Natsupoi, and Tam all came over him. Like, that's a big deal. And hopefully that popularity means just, you know, more eyes on Stardom, more eyes on TJPW, more eyes on Joshi overall. That is what I look at those awards for. It means that these wrestlers are making an impact on fans there that are looking at these magazines and reading these magazines. Obviously, it's not every wrestling fan in Japan, but it's a good amount. And that's really what we applaud. So those are your Shoe Pro rankings / awards for the year. Next up, we are going to get to Stardom's awards review. This was a big weekend, of course, in Stardom. None bigger than the award. Like, the award shows, a lot of the awards are given out with the reason of kind of giving a lot of the top stars some credit. So before we get to the wrestling of the weekend, we will go over the award winners, kind of give you some of our mindset within that. If I could find the awards, of course I can't find them. Nonetheless, the awards are the fighting spirit. You have the top match of the year, you have the MVP, you have on and on and on. So let's go through them now here. The MVP award, not really a surprise at all. It ended up being Tam Nakano. Tam gets the 3 sweep, winning the MVP for Stardom, MVP for Tokyo Sports in women's wrestling, and the Shoe Pro MVP as well. The best match award went to none other than Julia and Megan Bain for their match at Stardom Dream Queendom on December 29th. The way I look at that award was a way to, you know, give something to Megan Bain to on her way out, right? She had such a memorable showing in Stardom and made a name for herself. So I don't think it should come as too much of a shock that they wanted to give her something as she departs. The Best Tag Team Award went to Natsupoi and Sayori Ano. Very deserving. You know, the tag team didn't last long, but it certainly made an impact for many fans. And that's ultimately what matters the most, is making that impact. And they had a good reign until, of course, Natsupoi got injured. The best unit went to Queen's Quest. I can't debate that after the summer story they told, where Queen's Quest proved to be a unified team once again. The Distinguished Service Award went to Mayu Iwatani. Feels like an award, you know, there's always a changing award, and Mayu gets that one. No doubt about it. There's no question about it. If we're going to go with the reasoning for that award, she absolutely should, be the one winning that. The Fighting Spirit Award went to Suzu Suzuki. Obviously, she had a great year in her own right. The Skills Award went to Mirai, and the Shining Award, voted on by Stardom fans, went to none other than Micah. So those are your Stardom Awards for the new year. Our next topic here is talking about Megan Bain. Megan Bain is officially leaving Stardom and heading back to the States, presumably to get started in AEW. Of course, the story broke a few months ago that she was signed to an AEW contract. I believe Fightful Select reported that. And she has been working in Stardom since July, I believe. And she has really put in the work to become a full-out star for not only Stardom, but for the future. And I want to take this time, if you are an AEW fan listening to this, I want to tell you what you're getting from Megan Bain. Because what Megan Bain was able to do in her time was go from someone who had raw potential to being a game-changing monster type wrestler. Like, there's no one in wrestling that's just, you know, that's just available that's like Megan Bain. Megan Bain is a powerhouse. Megan Bain has presence to her. She created this aura around her in Stardom, and she really got over with Japanese fans to the point where I think she won everyone over by the end. And over these past 2 months especially, I thought she was dynamic. I thought she was putting on some of the best matches of her career. She has a mixture of explosiveness, a mixture of character, and a mixture of overall presence, like I said earlier, that you can't teach. And she was able to refine those skills in Stardom. And she had an incredible match with Julia. She had that great match with Tam. She had the great tag run with Micah as Divine Kingdom in the Goddess of Stardom Tag League Tournament. She did so many things to get to the point where she's heading back to AEW as complete of a product that I think she was going to go back as following her run here. I don't know if AEW is aware of what they have in Megan Bain, but they need to be, because she is a star. Truly, like, she is a star that is going to be able to change part of that division. She is someone that you don't have losing all too much. She is someone who feels like a legitimate threat to anyone at any time. She was a legitimate threat against some of the best in the world, and she was very receptive to her time here. She had this great farewell promo, which Micah, you know, hilariously translated after, and she said she wants to come back. And I felt that, like, she felt very genuine about that. And if there's ever a time for something to prove that maybe a relationship makes sense between these two companies, it's Megan Bain. Like, there is no better case than Megan Bain. She is going to make a difference in that women's division. I can't wait to see who she faces first, what the plan is for her. You are getting a ready-made superstar who could walk in and beat Julia Hart tomorrow. She could walk in and beat Timeless Tony tomorrow. I truly believe that. She's likely going to have a mouthpiece, if I had to guess. She didn't cut many promos over in Japan, and not like, you know, they were the super advanced promos either way. But she's just so impressive, and she's so good at the in-ring stuff. And that's, you know, for AEW fans, that should be the most important, especially when You look like her. You offer such a different, you offer an entire different person, entire different wrestler to the AEW landscape. This isn't just the women's division. She is going to make changes, and I'm hopeful that in time they realize that. I'm hoping they realize that now, but fans should be very excited about Megan Bain. I know I'm very upset that she's leaving. I think she was nothing short of incredible. If there's matches you should go out of your way to see, it's the one against Julia. It's the one against Tam. She had so many great house show matches, and we'll talk about her final match here in a second.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's get to it. We had shows on Saturday and Sunday in Takedown Nobaba for the Stardom Awards. Of course, the first day featuring two title matches, the second day featuring the goodbye to Megan Bain and the 13th anniversary tag team match in the main event. So let's get to it. The opening match on day one was Megan Bain defeating Saki Kashima and Yuna Mizumori and Lady C in a 1-on-3 handicap match. You know, sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes, you know, wrestlers that leaving, they'll lose on the way out. While she lost, or let me rephrase that, while Megan Bain lost only a handful of times, this is one way to go out as strong as humanly possible. Beating three people. And this isn't like three rookies. No, she beat Saki Kashima, who was a high-speed champion. She beat Yuna Mizumori, and she beat Lady C. Easily. And it was very entertaining. It's exactly what you kind of want out of a monster-type handicap match. And they delivered up and down. I thought it was for a 4 or 5 minute match, it was very entertaining. Next up, we had Aphrodite, Utami Hayashishita, and Saya Kamatani winning a tag team gauntlet. The other teams were Azumi and Miyu Amasaki, Saeeda and Yuzuki, Rana Yagami and Sayaka Karara, and Rina and Ruaka. This had a few moments in the match that I really enjoyed. I think Azumi and Amasaki work really together. I think O2 line continues to show improvement. I've talked about that a few times on this show, but I felt it'd be a good time to bring that back up because, you know, I think ultimately when you're looking at a team like that, right? Azumi, obviously the veteran. Miyu Amasaki still learning match after match after match. You want to see the improvement every single time they get a chance to team. Because O2 line isn't as consistent out there together as Aphrodite, for example. And the more we get to see them show up, and the more we get to see them deliver, it's going to just prove that they should be a duo and have potential long term if that's what they want to do with them. We also got to see Saeeda and Yuzuki team for the first time on this show. I found them to be an interesting duo as well. I think Yuzuki is going to obviously be great, but I think if they ever want to kind of go a little bit more with this duo, right, we kind of seeing eye contact. Obviously, Mayu Iwatani and Hanan get a more focus as a duo. If this is what they want to do to replace Wingori for Saeeda, I think it's a good mix. Ueda Tai, Natsuko Tora, Momo Watanabe, and Starlight Kid defeated Julia, Suzuki, and Mai Sakurai. My biggest takeaway from this match is that Ueda Tai hilariously did the Mai Sakurai pose, which was very entertaining. Just, you know, it's very out of character for them to be goofy like that, or at least that's how I feel. But ultimately it was like kind of a nothing match. If you didn't watch it this weekend, you didn't miss much. Next up, we had Micah and Hanako defeating Mina Shirakawa and the returning Waka Tsukiyama. This match was all about the post-match. And if you told me heading into this match that it would be all about the post-match, I would have said, huh? Excuse me? What do you mean by that? And little did I know, while I will say Mike and Hanako work very well together, Waka looked like she was in Waka form. But little did I know that this was all going to lead to a new faction. Club Venus is no more. And the new faction is Micah, Hanako, Mina Shirakawa, Waka Tsukiyama, and a returning Xena, who is still not scheduled for any matches in the upcoming weekends, but she will be on this faction. We don't have a name yet. They plan to, Micah and Mina said specifically, we are going to name our new faction when we first team together. So, sure, that will be on Saturday. We will know the team name, the faction name next week. But Club Venus is gone. And this, originally when I saw the news of this, I said to myself, really? But ultimately, once you watch the video and you take in the personalities that are working here, you get a appreciation for where this can go, because Micah is the honest, you know, non-crazy character like a Mina and Waka is. You have Hanako as the rookie. You have Xena kind of more fitting in the Micah role in that respect as well. And just like their interactions on this show just worked, you know, like they tossed jabs at one another, you know, like, oh, Mina goes, you know, your faction left you, all your friends left you, your friend retired. And you know, Mike is like, well, what happened to you? You've pretty much been alone for the past couple months. And they ultimately get to the point where they're like, well, why don't we just form a new group together? And ultimately, the greatness of these two leading this faction, presumably Mike as the top leader and Mina as the number two, of course, is there's a lot of similarities in Micah and Mina Shirakawa. These are two wrestlers who were not supposed to be champion, right? Mina Shirakawa wasn't going to be the Wonder Storm champion until one thing after another, her hard work pays off. She gets the bloodied face, but she cuts the promo of her life. She comes back a bigger star. The crowd is absolutely loving her. And she gets that title win over Saya Kamatani. Plans change. Fast forward to the end of last year. Tam Nakano is the World of Stardom champion. It is reported by Dave Meltzer that Saya Kamatani was supposed to win the five-star Grand Prix. Sure, okay. Fast forward, Saya's hurt. Su Suzuki wins the five-star Grand Prix instead. Week after that, Tam Nakano gets injured. And they go back to the story. Suzu versus Micah. And just like that, Micah, after the crowd is behind her, full of support, ready to see her get her moment, she is the World of Stardom champion. Mina and Micah have very similar paths, and that's going to benefit both of them together in this new unit. You look at the other pieces, of course, Waka is someone who ultimately became a fan favorite through her journey to finally get a win. Hanako is trying to prove herself and set herself apart, right? She's in many ways trying to replace Himeka by Micah's side, something that is not easy. And then there's Xena, who's kind of the wild card. We don't know how much she'll be around, when she'll officially be around, but she will be part of the group. There's a lot of question marks with this new faction, but more rightfully than anything else, there's a lot of excitement with this new faction. I think Micah and Mina Shirakawa are a perfect duo to be the odd couple of sorts of Stardom. And hopefully in time, this feels natural because I think the uniqueness and the oddballness of this will work in the long term. Next up, we had a high speed championship match. It was Mei Sara defeating Fuki Gendet to earn her third defense. This match went less than 5 minutes, and it was so good. To me, it was the Mei Sara match that she really needed for this title reign, like to get it on track. I'm not saying it's like this defining match. It had its funniness, of course, with Fuki Gendet, but it had its seriousness as well. This was real high speed. It was these two going at 100% from the get-go, not looking back, and absolutely killing it for less than 5 minutes. Like, Mei Sara is learning the art of controlling her speed, right? Because one of the problems I had with the Tekla match is that it felt like she was too fast for Tekla, and Tekla could not keep up for a lot of that. Now you watch this match, and Fuki Gendet is overall a better high-speed wrestler, obviously Kairi Aniyama is an all-timer. But not only that, they're able to match speed, and Mei's able to slow down at the right times and speed back up and go again. It's a match you need to watch to have a full appreciation of. Because when I'm talking a 5-minute match, it is pack everything you got into this. You know, if they wrestled a slowed down, non-high speed match, this probably could have gone for 9 minutes or so. But they went full speed, they went the high speed, and it worked. If it's a normal match, it doesn't work the same. So this was a great defense for May Sarah. And the most exciting part is, of course, May Sarah has officially challenged Hazuki to a high-speed championship match, which Hazuki has accepted. That will be on the Supreme Fight card. It'll be Hazuki's first singles match for the title in a very long time. She has done. She did the three-way match. Obviously, she was one of the great high-speed champions ever, holding the title for 208 days and never getting pinned for that title. I believe this will be her first singles match for the belt since June 9th, 2019. She's never, like I said, never been defeated in singles action with that belt on the line. It will be May Sarah's toughest test yet. But I think May Sarah could still get that win, but I can't wait for that match. Like I said, Supreme Fight on February 4th. We'll be previewing that next week. The main event of day one of this show was the Artists of Stardom Championship match. It was God's Eye, Shuri, Mirai, and Ami Sarai defending against Stars, Mayu Iwatani, Hazuki, and Hanan. This was Hanan's match. And I have come on here every single week, and I have talked about how important this year is for Hanan, and they are putting all the focus on her, and for good reason. Hanan is someone who I really believe in, obviously. She is a wrestler who is a little bit of everyone in Stars. She has the ace-like babyface overcoming abilities of a Mayu Iwatani mixed with the hard-nosed, hard-hitting aggressiveness of Hazuki. And you see that more and more as these matches go on. And this was the best case. She was great in there. She took maybe 65% of this match for her team. And she again looked like she was on her way to winning. Every time she gets a near fall, I'm on the edge of my seat. She is one of my favorite wrestlers because she has nailed that ability to make you believe like Hazuki has, like Mayu has. She's 19 years old, and it is fair to believe that this should be her year. She should be on her way to a Wonder or Stardom Championship match. She should be on her way to continuous big opportunities that we have already seen in January. But this was her match. Mariah ultimately did pin her with a massive lariat, but boy, oh boy, did she come close to winning. This match was the match of the night. It was great. And it was a real reminder of how incredibly stacked Stardom is right now. We get to day two in Takedown and Obaba. This show was really all about the last two matches, so I'll kind of steamroll through the results here. Miyu Amasaki and Lady C defeated Yuna Mizumori and Sayaka Karara, as well as Rina and Rana Yagami. Oh, that reminds me. After the Artist of Stardom title match, Rana Yagami asked to join God's Eye, and Shuri was very pleased and, of course, welcomed her to the group. So every rookie except for Aya Sakura, who is still injured, and Sayaka Karara has their faction. So Rana Yagami, a perfect fit, I believe, in God's Eye. My Sakurai defeated Fuki in Death. Not a real shock there, I don't think. Mina Shirakawa and Waka Tsukiyama defeated Star Saeeda and Yuzuki. Again, Saeeda and Yuzuki, I think, are looking pretty good as a duo. Obviously, they're still learning together, but I'm really looking forward to see what they do. I'm really interested to see what Yuzuki does with everyone in Stars, just because it's so new and so unique. We don't know how she'll mesh with every single one of them. She only teamed with Ida this weekend, so we'll have to wait and see on that one. God's Eye, Shuri, Mirai, and Ami Sarai defeated Oedo Tai, Natsuko Tora, Momo Watanabe, and Ruaka. And in the semi-main event, Megan Bain's farewell match, it was Julia, Suzuki, and Mei Sara defeating Micah, Megan Bain, and Hanako when Julia pinned Hanako. What I loved about this match was that they made sure to give Megan Bain all the wrestlers who have been very important to her run here in Stardom. She had the great match with Julia. She teamed with Suzu and Mei Sara so many times. Micah was her tag team partner. And Hanako, she was in a number of matches with her. But if Hanako, of course, was also in the spot of having to lose here. But this was a really good match. Lots of fun. It'll be sad to not see Mei Sara and Megan Bain antics anymore. That was some of my favorite stuff during the Megan Bain reign here in Stardom. And I'm really upset that she's leaving. But this was a really good match to send her off in. I thought she looked like a star. And yeah, I thought Hanako had maybe her best showing yet as well since debuting. So it looks like the new rookies continue to drive her to be better, which is always a welcome sight. And in the main event, what I thought was maybe the most fun match I have watched in quite some time, it was Mayu Iwatani, Hanan, Utami Hashishita, and Saya Kamatani defeating Azumi, Starlight Kid, Saki Kashima, and Hazuki in a 13th anniversary All-Stardom Wrestlers tag match. All-Stardom Born, All-Stardom Created Wrestlers, and a tag. The Mayu, Hanan, Utami, Saya team, that team's for me. They built that team for me. And there were so many fun moments throughout this match. You got to see Hanan and Utami do judo throws at the same time and STOs follow up. You got to see them do kind of tag team wrestling. You got to see Mayu and Utami do some tag team wrestling. You got to see Azumi and Starlight Kid do some tag team wrestling. You got to see some cool matchups between, Mayu and Hazuki, which really carried the closing stretch of this match, where Mayu pinned Hazuki to get the win with the moonsault. It was fantastic, truthfully. Like, this is my second favorite Stardom match of the year. It's currently in my top 10 matches of the year. Like, I just loved every bit of it. It's what makes a Stardom house show the best. It reminded me of the 2021 run that they had, where they just put on these crazy cool tag all-star matches. This was an all-star match, and it 100% delivered. And all I could say is it has me beyond excited for the next one at Supreme Fight. But this is a must-see, go-out-of-your-way match. Hanan shines again. Aphrodite shines again. Mayu shines again. Azumi and Starlight Kid need to win tag titles together eventually. Hazuki was great. Saki Kashima was great in her comedic role. She always does so good. Just go out of your way to see this. I can't do it justice with words. You just need to watch this match. If there's any match to watch from the weekend, to me, it is this one. Next up here, we are going to close out the show with an impromptu Q&A. I realized when I was planning for this show and I knew I was running solo, I said, oh, wow, there's definitely some room to do some questions. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to go through some questions asked over on X/Twitter, whichever you prefer to call it. And we'll get into it right now. But thank you to everyone that sent in questions. Let's talk about it. It all starts, we had two Discord questions we'll do first, and then we'll do the Twitter questions, actually. So this is from Idiom. Regarding Wakana Uehara's ranking in the 2023 Shoe Pro vote. What impact do you feel her Twitter campaign had on the results? I think if there's any wrestler who does Twitter better in Stardom, well, not Stardom, in Joshi, you have to tell me who. I think Wakana markets herself so well. I think she gets her name out there in such a great way that she has created fans by showing care and interest to her fans. I think she just does such a great job, and it probably does have an impact. I mean, people want to see her, and she's just done such a great job. She is very nice to her fans. She talks to them. So yeah, I think it definitely has an impact. Next up, we had who comes back to Stardom first, Mariah May or Megan Bain? That was from Kane. I'm going to guess Megan. I think Megan comes back first. But it could easily be both of them at the same time. You never know. But I do think Megan comes back first. Now we'll make it over to the Twitter questions. The Twitter questions we have, how many do we have? We have over 20. So let's dive in, shall we? This is from Peps. With the Cinderella coming up, how do you feel about the current system? 32 wrestlers with 5 tournament nights. Does the Cinderella still work how it used to? If not, what changes to the rules should be made if they want to continue having a huge field? There are a lot of problems with the Cinderella tournament. And I know someone else asked a question about Cinderella, so I will combine these two. This is from at Snap Wilson on Twitter. I kind of hate the Cinderella and expect everyone to agree with me. Should Stardom kill it? So killing the Cinderella is not what I would do because it is part of Stardom's history, but it needs to be reshuffled. If you want to kind of listen to me and Dylan Murray of Stardom Quest to go over, we did that this week on the episode on their podcast, but we kind of threw out the idea of doing 3-2 nights over one weekend and getting it out of the way type thing. Like, stretching it out over a month is how it loses so much interest. And doing one night of singles matches where half the field is eliminated doesn't work. That doesn't interest people. It doesn't work like it used to at all. The one night made somewhat. And I just don't think it's really made someone since maybe Saya when she won it. Like, when Mariah won it back-to-back years, it was a big deal. But it just didn't hit the same. And I think the main changes I would do is either cut the field in half. I know you have a stacked roster of 32-plus wrestlers. Great. You don't have to put them all in. You just don't. Like, you can do, like, I don't know, like a 24 or something. The math probably doesn't add up or something. But like, do two nights. One night you can do round one in the next round. And then the next night you could do the semis and finals or whatever. Like, that's how I would do it. And while the beauty of the Cinderella often is the 10-minute time limit and the over-the-top rope and all that, you might have to start playing with that too. Because there's just too many draws and too many eliminations. I would maybe up it to 15 or keep it at 10, but get rid of the over-the-top rope elimination. I think if you keep it at 10, it's still interesting, but you don't have the ability to sneak out of it. You know, you don't have the ability to run away from the possibilities at hand. So my big changes would be cutting down the wrestlers of the tournament, cutting down the nights to 2, and changing the rules where you would get the over-the-top rope rule taken out. It feels like Stardom dropped Ruwak after spotlighting her heavily in 2021-2022. Which direction should they take for her to make the next step in her career? This is also from Peps. They need to get Momo Watanabe or Starlight Kid out of Oedo Tai because she is so bogged down by those two and Natsuko Tora that she can never get higher. Natsuko is the leader, and Natsuko is a great tag team partner for Rock. We saw it last year, right, when they challenged 7-Up. It was a really good match. But it's hard to get past them. Like, Hanan was able to climb over Koguma because she's not seen in that higher light like a Momo and Starlight Kid. Rock is never going to get to do that. So I think you need one of them to leave Oedo Tai. And that's how you start to get her back up and reshuffle her. I would make sure when you have a tag team tournament, she's teaming with Natsuko because that is the team that works. You know, that is the team that I like seeing. So that's kind of how I feel about that. You should be running back that idea, but also moving someone out and maybe adding a rookie to fill in for that extra spot. Number three. Stars now has 7 members, including Hanan and Yuzuki, who will both have their breakouts in the next 24 months. How do you see the roles of the other three moving forward? Ida, Momokogo, and Koguma. I think one of those three are leaving the faction. Momokogo makes a lot of sense to leave if she comes back healthy. I think she could go to a Club Venus or Cosmic Angels. I think Saida could very easily leave. I think Koguma stays in Stars. Like, there's no reason to take her out. She likes to be with Azuki and Mayu, so there's no reason to move her, but I think one of those other two leave. And Koguma's fine settling back into the 4 spot behind a Hanan and eventually Azuki. Like, that is just her role. She is not a top star in their eyes. She is a great tag team wrestler. And when you need her, she can plug in. Kind of like Fuki and Death. I'm not saying you move her completely down like that, but she is closer to the Fuki and Death role in that group than I think we are realizing. She's obviously the wrestler of Koguma is better than the wrestler of Fuki and Death. But I think that's kind of a reality with that group. Number 4 is Stardom back. Let's see how we feel after Supreme Fight. That's the big one. Next up, Peps also asked who should be my Sakurai's butler. I have no idea. It can be I have a feeling it's going to be like poor Sayaka Carrara or something. There should be no one, truthfully. Being a butler would be a tough role to take on. Xavi, do you think there's a need for a genuine mid-card belt with no special rules in Stardom? Yes. Absolutely. When we're talking about all these wrestlers like the Kogamas and the Idas and the Teklas for some time there and, you know, all these clear mid-card wrestlers who just don't have anything to do, I think they would benefit greatly from a true mid-card belt. What are 5 things you hope to see this year in terms of Joshi? I hope to see Hanan rise up the ranks. I hope to see more Sariism shows. I hope to see a non-Stardom or TJPW promotion do something, anything, become prominent in a way. I would love that, please. That would be my big thing. I think that's three. I would like to see one big Joshi show. Like, that highlights the best of the best. I think that would be really cool. And what else? What else? I would like to see Mayu Iwatani have a complete year at the top again, whether that be with the IWGP, whether that be with the World Wonder. Like, she needs a full year of being prominent once again. This is from Victor. Is this group of Stardom rookies better because they have each other to push each other? While Kevin and only and Lacey only had themselves, so less competition reps to improve. I think they are better in I think Yuzuki's better in terms of talent easily than both of them when they debuted. I think the same could probably be said for Rana and Sayaka, but there is a real reality. I think you're right, where the being able to push each other and learn with one another does do a lot. And I think that's where Amasaki and Lady C did suffer from. So I think there's definitely some truth to that. But I do think that the talent that they have brought in with these recent rookies is pretty big. So Dylan says, who's someone on the Stardom roster you think would be better off elsewhere? Could be a simple reason as I think they'd be a cool team with X, or they could break through their current ceiling if they went to this company. That's a good one. I think that Ida would be a star somewhere else. Because she's kind of a work rate machine in some ways, but she also has a lot of personality. So I think she would benefit greatly from and pass her ceiling maybe somewhere else. This is from Far One. Is Hanan getting all the belts? She has been on a run since the night one 2023 five-star Grand Prix. I've been saying it on this podcast for months. It's got to start this year. She's got to get a real tag, whether it be the artist, the goddess, the wonder. Like, she needs to get one of these belts this year. 100%. 100%. That's a great question, but I think Hanan's, she's beyond ready, and I think it happens. This is from At Will Pro Wrestling. Once the schedule has changed for the better, what do you think should change for the structure of the booking? I don't know. More all-star tags, more title matches on house shows. We're starting to see that now. I think more emphasis on Cork and Hall shows would be my big thing with the structure of the booking and the mindset of where they go. I think that would be a big one. This is from Bobby Gilbert. If any developer was to make a Stardom video game, what developer would you want to make it? I have no idea. I don't know any developers off the top of my head. I apologize for not being able to answer that. It's a good question, though. Ben Coleman, Mina has said fairly recently that she wants to aim for the red belt, but now she's in a stable with Michael. What do you think she could achieve as part of this new group? That's a good question. Yeah, I don't see Mina challenging for the red belt anytime soon. They could always run that. They've done faction versus faction. They just can't do it soon. I think she could be an artist champion once again. I think she could be a great, you know, just over. She's going to be the talking. She's going to be the promo. She's going to be the vocal leader while Micah is the leader by example, if that makes sense. I think Mina's probably reached her height, right, with the Wonder Stardom title. So this is why she's probably settling more into a number two spot. This is from At Elian Garston. Aside from Julia, what other Joshi do you see joining an American promotion in 2024? Maki Ito full-time, if she's okay, would be my top choice. From William Omega, how do you think they can make Micah's reign stand out? beat Saya Kamatani, beat Julia, beat Shuri, and beat Utami Haishishita. That's how you make it stand out. You have her beat the best of the best. That's, you give her a chance to shine at the top level against the best, and you watch her defeat the best. Do you think it's time to start Upsets production? Absolutely. I want to be able to hear the crowd. This year is going to most likely be May Sarah's first five-star Grand Prix after not being in the tournament last year. Thank you, Harkin, for this question. What are some matches you really want to see in her run? I want to see May Sarah versus Hazuki, which we're already getting. I want to see May Sarah versus Saya Kamatani versus Mayu Iwatani versus Hanan, obviously. I want them to run that match back. I would like to see her against Suzu Suzuki. I want to see that match probably the most. I would like to see them face off. Obviously, their great team is Crazy Star, but I'd like to see them face off. This is at Legit Swifty 11. Do you think Momo Watanabe will ever win the red belt? I don't. I sadly do not. I have reached that result. Unfortunately, I don't think it's coming. Unless they heat her up. She's still very young, so you never say never. But right now, I give it like, 15% chance of happening. At Lee J. Robinson, here's one. When Julia first came to Stardom, there's some sort of controversy surrounding her being in Stardom from somewhere else. What exactly happened? So the Julia story, of course, goes back to her time in Ice Ribbon. She was supposed to... So here's what happened. She asked for her release, hoped to be out of the company. They decided they rescheduled the show that was for her former tag team partner, Tequila Saya's retirement show. She left before that, I believe. And she joined Stardom after giving her notice. It was a very much a big moment because Ice Ribbon had claimed that she was still under contract to them, and there was the threat of tampering and so on and so forth. And a lot of people did not like the way Julia left Ice Ribbon, especially with her tag team partner retiring. I believe that is the main gist of it. This is from @WWETNA. In your opinion, do you think it's possible that Sari gets her wish and faces either Julia or Mayu for the gold later this year? Yes, I do. She would not keep saying it if she wasn't going to get it. That's my opinion on the matter. At Zane Martin _, any important matches that you think people should check out in the history of Stardom? Utami versus Shuri, Tokyo Dream, Cinderella. That is the match. That is the match Dave Meltzer ranked 5.5 stars. That is one of the greatest matches I've ever seen. It is the biggest match in Stardom history just because of its importance. That's a match you should go out of your way to see. Any match of Mayu Iwatani versus Io Shirai, you should go out of your way to see. The Queen's Quest match from last year, Julia versus Shuri from 2022. I think Mayu Iwatani versus Kairi from the IWGP tournament. If you're looking for TJPW matches, I'm looking at Miyu Yamashita versus Maki Ito from Wrestle Princess 2, I believe, a couple years ago. Pretty much any match from that Miyu Yamashita run is a good bet to go check out. This is from Zach. Who wins the 2024 Max Heart tournament? I'm going with Daisy Monkey. And should Miyu beat Miyu Yamashita at Grand Princess 24? 100%. Undoubtedly, At Raw Ball Podcast, what is the time frame for Natsupoi to be back in action, and do you see her contending for either the World or Wonder or Stardom titles? I do not know the timeline, unfortunately. I think she's going to be back soon, just based off of how active she is on social media and whatnot, but I don't know. Hopefully it's soon, though. I wouldn't be shocked if she announced her return at Supreme Fight, maybe. And I do think that she will be contending for the Wonder of Stardom Championship this year. This is at Duke Nukem. Who is the best foreigner in Stardom and TJPW? I guess, do you mean all, ever? Because ever, Stardom has a few. TJPW does as well. Currently, if I do currently active or past, the past year, I think Masha Slamovic, one match, was the best any foreigner has had in TJPW since they've come over, and she is doing Grand Princess, so I think she's a good shout. But Maxine Paler has been great for TJPW. And in Stardom, it's Mariah May. I just think her 9 months are incredible. I think Megan Bain was great. Obviously, I praised her earlier in the show, but I would go with Mariah. This is from Kane. What would you think if Starlight Kid broke off and started a young person group? Current Young and OED, some of the Rooks, Suzuki, maybe Azumi. It would be interesting. It would definitely be an interesting twist if it was Young and OED. So that'd be Starlight Kid, Ruaka, and Rina, plus Suzuki. I don't know how Suzuki can't take that second spot. Though, if I look at it like Shuri was in DDM, for Suzuki, it'd be very interesting. If you add Azumi to that too, it's just overpacked, I think. It's definitely an interesting one, though. They would have to get away from the Uedo Tai character, though, I think, to make that work. And the final question from JQN. Has Stardom peaked, or do you think they'll manage to keep growing in the foreseeable future? I don't know. I don't know, because I think Stardom, there's so much room for greatness with this roster. So I don't think they've peaked necessarily. I just think there's always room to grow. There's always room to do more. And I think Stardom has a real chance to do exactly that. I never want to say a company peaked, because there's always a chance for a boom. There's always a chance. Right now, we have seen what their peak looks like. Can they top that? I hope so. I do hope so, because it's such a great company and they have such a good roster. I do hope so. So I'm not going to say they've peaked for sure. I think it's just like we're on a downswing now, and we'll get an upswing again sometime, hopefully, in the future. But that's it for the 5-Star Joshi Show here on the Fight Game Media Network. You can follow me at Scott E. Wrestling on Twitter. I'll be back next week talking the Max Hart semifinals this weekend. We'll talk the Stardom shows this upcoming weekend. And we will be previewing Supreme Fight on February 4th. So thank you for listening. And until next time, see ya.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.